Okay. Shalom Aleichem. So, beginning a new topic, a new series on learning now Hilchos Ribis, Bez Hashem. And I'd like to try to go along, for the most part, along the order of Shulchan Aruch and discuss the primary halachas that are in Shulchan Aruch and hopefully many of the other Nidunim and Shailas that are related, that come off of the daf of the Shulchan Aruch. So just as a derech haktamos, so the Isra Ribis, the Torah Asas Ribis, with many psukim, we'll see, Mr. Shem, when we get to the next simon, Kiveger lists for us all the various Isurim that are listed by Ribis. The Isra of Ribis, the basic Isra, means that one is not allowed to loan money or any other commodity, food or anything else which the one who borrows it is meant that he should use it, he should consume it and replace it. You can't loan it to someone with the stipulation that he return more than what you're loaning him. So if you're lending him a certain amount of money, and the idea is that he uses the money and then returns the money, meaning replaces the money, you can only stipulate with him that he replaced the same amount of money that you lent him, or less, of course, but not anything more than the amount that you lent him. Same thing with food. If you lend a person food and he consumes the food and he has to replace it, you can't stipulate with him that he should replace it or return to you more food than the amount that you lent him. The Isser is both on the Malve, the one who's lending, the loaner, and the lova, that it's usher for either one of them to engage in this, to engage in ribis. And the isser derisa, the main isser derisa that I could describe, is what's called ribis katsutza, is when you stipulate from the outset. You stipulate right away that you're lending him this amount, but you expect back more. That's the isser derisa. Well, the isser derisa is isser derisa in the etzim stipulation is an issa deraisa, but what I really meant to say is the issa deraisa would be then if the person actually pays you back more based on the initial stipulation, that those were the terms, that he's going to borrow $1,000 and he's going to return $1,200. So when he returns $1,200, he's over the issa ribis. There is a separate issa just on the making such a stipulation, going into such a deal, as we'll see, as Hashem. And so there's an issa both on the malvet who takes back the $1,200 or takes the $1,200 in place of the $1,000, and there's an isser on the lovet. So it's different than many other or most almost all other inyani mammon, where a person can be mochel. If somebody is mazik me, he destroys my property, some of my property, and said he owes me money for it, so I could be mochel. I could say he doesn't have to pay me back. Or even with a loan, if somebody lent me money, I could be mochel. He doesn't have to pay me back, or pays me back less. But here, I can't be mochel and say, you only lent me $1,000, but you know what? I want to give you back a little bit more. I'm mochel the extra. You can't do that. The Torah doesn't allow you to give back more than you borrowed. And so it's not, in that sense, it's different than typical or standard dine mominus. Now, that if you notice that the Hilchos Ribis is in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya. Now, typically, a mominus in Yanim are found in, not in Yoredeya, but found in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat is the source of Dine Mominus. Yoredeya is about Isser Veheter, about Macholos Asuros, and about Nida, and Nidarim, and Kibbut Avim, and all sorts of things. But halachas that pertain to monetary transactions are found in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. So why is it that Hilchos Ribis is not in Choshen Mishpat, but rather it's in Yoredeya? So the Velt says that for this reason, that it's not really a mominus din. If it's a mominus din, then the halacha would be that maybe the malva can't demand back more, but if I want to give him back more, there would be no problem. If it's like mominus, like any other mominus, I'm in control of my own money. I can give somebody a gift if I want for no particular reason, for any particular reason. I can give away my money. I can be mochel my money. I control my money. what I control what I do or don't do with my money, but here I'm not in control to give back more money to someone who lends me money. I'm not in control to give him back more money. So in that sense, it's an isser. It's more that shows us that that indicates that the laws of ribis are not standard mamonis halachas. They're more isser v'heter halachas. Therefore, the founding year there. That's what the belt says. Now, I'm sorry.
Says about Yarshin, could it be Yairish? If someone took ribis, do the Yarshin have a tvis? He says it's an afkamina if it's a mom that is. It'll be. If it's only Yairideya, so the Yarshin can get it because he doesn't have to pay it back.
Right.
The Yarshin don't have a tvis pirug.
Okay. Good. Good. Now, but the truth is that the Torah actually addresses the Shaila himself of why Hilchas ribis are found in. Yeridaya right on the Chalashim Mishpat, and the Torah's Teretz explains the why Hilchas Ribis begin the way they do. And it's really it's really reverse order, meaning to say right before Hilchas Ribis in Shulchan Aruch Yeridaya are the halachas of Avodas Kochavim, Avodas Zara, all the halachas of Avodas Zara. And the halachas of Avodas Zara there is somewhat extensive. The end of the halachas of Avodas Zara talk about different halachas as far as being matzil another individual who's in difficult straits, matzil a person from Misa. It talks about of the kochavim, whether there's a mitzvah l'hatzila mimavis, and it talks about epikursim, and etc., etc. And then the Torah then continues and discusses the same gedarim, the same relationships when it comes to ribis. Is it mutter to between which people is ribis going to be usur and between which people is going to be mutter? Meaning to say, b'derech klal, the general rule, the Torah says that the isser ribis is only between one Jew and another. It's a you're not allowed to lend a Jew is not allowed to lend another Jew money and demand ribis or borrow money and pay ribis, but. Between a Jew and a non-Jew, there's no iser, whichever end it is. In other words, a Jew is allowed to borrow money from a non-Jew and pay him ribis, and a Jew, according to what it says in the Torah, and a Jew is also allowed to lend a non-Jew money and demand ribis. So the simon, the beginning of Hilchas Ribis, right after the halachas of Avodas Kochavim and about the halachas of being matzil another person, what's the din of a goy, what's the din of an apikoros, etc., etc. Then the Torah talks about the same thing with regards to ribis. What's the din between a Jew and a non-Jew? What's the din between the Jew and a mum, or a Jew who doesn't act like a Jew, who doesn't keep the Torah, or a kuti, or a karam, etc. And that is the beginning of Hilchas Ribis. So the Torah says, the Torah discusses those halachas, that's a simen kuf nun tes, and then he says, the ribis, kiven da asli adon, Ema Bamilsa. Once we're already discussing ribis, so I have a few more things to say about ribis. And then he launches into the rest of Hilchas Ribis. So the kickoff, the launching pad, were the halachas of just the relationship between a Jew and a non-Jew, and a Jew and a non-observant Jew. And then he said, and he spoke about ribis, and that was connected to Avodah Zarah. He says, well, once you're here already, we mentioned ribis, we might as well just finish up with the next, whatever it is, 10 simonim and all of Hilchas Ribis. That's really, on the surface, that's really why Hilchas Ribis is here. But Afal Pikein, it could be if it had no shaychus to Issa V'heter, if it was a totally mummonistic Inyan, perhaps the Torah wouldn't have done it. Perhaps that's just sort of what spurred him on. But the justification also was the fact that it's, as we said, not purely mummonist, but some of the Issa V'heter. Okay, now one more thing. We mentioned that the Issa D'Oraisa is to stipulate that the one who's borrowing the money needs to pay you back more. That's what's called ribis katsutza. But there is an iser derabanan to pay back more even if there was no stipulation made bishas the halva or no stipulation made at any point at all. Person lends you money and you decide out of the goodness of your heart that you want to give him back more than what he lent you. So that's also us. So that's going to be an iser derabanan to pay back more.
What if you gave somebody money without the stipulation that it's a loan? Somebody says, gosh, I don't have any food for Shabbos. You give them money. And then they have a windfall and they want to give you more back as a...
So if it was completely understood that it was a gift, there were no strings, there was no expectation of repayment, then he could. Then he's allowed to, he feels indebted to you for giving him a gift, he's allowed to give you back a gift, even if it's a bigger gift. That is mutter. We'll see, Ms. Shem, at some point as we go along, there are certain cases where it's a little bit borderline or questionable, like relationships where people set up, and this is actually discussed actually at Aruch Chaim, where people sort of have a deal amongst them that they take each other out to lunch. 1 week I pay the bill, 1 week you pay the bill. So that gets into a real shiloh of ribbis, because even though it might not have been explicitly stipulated, it certainly wasn't stipulated that you'll pay back more, but it's understood that I'm paying for lunch this week, and now you sort of owe me one, as you know that expression in English, right? You owe me one. So you in a sense do owe him. The one who received the free lunch this week needs to pay back next week. So if he ends up paying back more, that gets into a real shiloh of ribbis. That's discussed in in Aruch Chaim. And there are other cases where there are shilohs between neighbors, where a neighbor borrows or quote unquote borrows a couple of eggs or a cup of sugar or a challah roll or something from their neighbor. Is that viewed as a halva, and you have to be careful therefore not to pay back more, or not to pay back something of more value? Or as we'll see, maybe you're not even, there's going to be, we'll see that under many conditions you're not even allowed to do that in the first place. If it is a halva, if repayment is expected, you're not even allowed to borrow. Many cases you can't even borrow a commodity other than money where the price is not perfectly defined, because it's very likely that you will end up paying back ribbis. You may pay back something that has greater value. So it may be us to do it altogether. Where other times there are relationships between some neighbors where it's not a loan. You ask, you knock on your neighbor's door, he says, do you have an extra, there's a cup of sugar, where there's no expectation whatsoever that they're going to pay back, because today you're asking for sugar, tomorrow he's asking for, for whatever it is. It's a constant exchange back and forth where they accommodate each other and fill in the shortfall when this person needs this ingredient, needs this ingredient, or whatever it may be, and nobody looks at it, they don't look at it bechlal as a halva. Nobody expects them it to be paid back. So then that has a different halacha. That's more similar to the case you asked, where it was just a gift, and there would be no shaloh of ribbis. So, okay. And so within ribbis derabanan, there are going to be other cases, ribbis derech mekach u'memkar, when it wasn't really a loan, but there was a business deal. For example, somebody purchased something from somebody else, and now but he didn't pay on the spot, so now he owes the money. So that is converted into a loan, is considered a loan, at least midrabanan, when will have restrictions of paying back more, or even buying something on credit, having a two-tier system, but having one price for a person who pays cash and a higher price for someone who pays credit. That itself is a whole nidin in hilchos ribbis, is it mutter, and under what conditions it's mutter, etc. And these are all the rabbanans where it wasn't a straight out loan by any means, but it was some sort of business arrangement, business deal, which developed into a loan. So there'll be yisurim de rabbanan which will emerge from that. Okay, so that's just like a rough, a general hakdama. And with that, we can now start B'Hashem Siman Kuf Nun Tes, which, as we say, will, rather than discussing the starting from Mamish, the beginning, the next Siman is going to do that. Siman Kuf Samach is going to start from the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis. Siman Kuf Nun Tes is the link, where it links the halachas of Ribbis back to the halachas of Avodas Kochavim, and it talks about relationships between different types of people. I do have a couple of people who weren't here at the very beginning. There are a couple more copies of. There's a Shulchan Aruch here, and I think also I think you can go in. Okay, could you use either one? Okay. So it's been Simkuf Nutes Hilchos Ribbis Shemuta Lahalvos Lavikachavim Ulemumar Baribbis. The name of the simon is that it is permissible to lend money, to loan money to a guy or to a mumar baribbis. Says the Mechaber, Dvar Torah means Mida Oraisa. Mutter lahalvos la'avikachavim beribis. Mida araisa, it is permissible to lend to lend money beribis to a non-Jew. V'chachomim asruhu. However, says the mechaber that the chachomim asered it. a narzach, something that many people reading this first time say, what? I never heard that. Everybody, you're not allowed. It says here, and so far, it says here, Chachamim Asru, that the Chachamim Asered, lending a guy money for ribbis. We'll see. Imlo kidei chayav, o letam chacham. Unless it's kidei chayav, unless the person, this is his parnasa, in other words, he needs, in order to put bread on his table, he's a money lender. He lends money, and he charges ribbis. So for him, it's not just extra revach, it's not just some additional income that he's able, he's really in business doing X, Y, and Z. But now he has cash in the bank, and his neighbor, the non-Jewish neighbor, needs a loan, so it's an opportunity to make some more money. So that's the case the Chachamim asered. But if it's Kedei Chayav, he needs it, Pashat, to support himself, they never asked it. Oh, the Talmud Chacham. And they never asked it for Talmud Chacham either. So what's all this about? So the idea is that there was a point in time when Chazal made a gzera, Taka, that you can't loan money to a Jew, to a non-Jew and charge ribbis. Why? Because, like many other gzeras they made in order to discourage too much interaction between Yehudim and Einam Yehudim, the Chazal were concerned that by being too involved with Akum meaning any type of Einu Yehudi, it's going Shema Yilmod Mimaisav. It's going to bring about that the Yid will be affected by his lifestyle and learn certain forms of behavior and conduct from him, etc. And therefore, like many gzeres they made, which had been discussed earlier in Shulchan Aruch, many gzeres of Isur Achila, Bishul Akum and Pas Akum, and other forms of Macholi Akum, and other types of interaction they asserted in order to limit as much as possible the association between Yehudi and Einu Yehudi. So here too, they did that. Now, they didn't limit all business. They didn't say, okay, so you can't do any business, no business with a guy. No, that was never done. But davka, lending baribis, which you can only do to a guy. If that form of business, that form of revenue, of earning revenue, you can't do with a Jew, because it's also to lend money baribis to a Jew. So the only customer you have, the only possible person who you could lend money to baribis is a non-Jew. So Chazal were afraid that it's going to be very attractive, a form of making money, as you said, on the side, lav davka, the person who needs it for his basics, but it's going to be something that many people, whoever has money on the side, a little bit of extra money lying around, will be interested to do this, and they're afraid it's going to cause a lot of involvement between Jews and non-Jews, and it would lead to Shelma Yidnei Mimaisav. So therefore they asked it. But Kedei Chayiv, they didn't ask it because they weren't looking to cause undue hardships to people. And for Talmud Chacham, they weren't concerned. They weren't concerned that a Talmud Chacham is going to be Yidnei Mimaisav. They trusted that Talmud Chacham will be able to conduct himself properly and won't be affected, won't be influenced. Therefore they never asked it that. And then the Mechaber continues, Oba Ribis de Rabbanan. One more Heter was, if it wasn't ribis doraisa, and we'll go back to that in a minute. V'ho'idna mutter, whoever zog the mechaber. If you're wondering that, why you never heard about this, zog the mechaber, v'ho'idna mutter, and the Ramah adds in b'chol inyan. Now it's mutter already, even if it's not kedei chayav, even if it's taka just laharvacha, and he's not a talmud chacham, the person who's lending the money, and it's ribis doraisa, it's all mutter. Why is it all mutter? Because, since, as we said, the whole reason was to put up this barrier and this distance between a Yid and a Goy, but now that we are, the way our lives are, that and with Rove of Klal Yisrael living in Golus and primarily interacting with Goyim anyway, where it's almost impossible to earn a livelihood for anybody who's in Masu Mekko Chomemka in any form of business without being involved with Goyim. So it's not going to make a difference. The fact that they're able to lend a guy baribis is not going to make any significant difference, and therefore the gzera was retracted. Now, even though this is very uncommon, usually when Chazal make a gzera, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore, it's very uncommon, very unusual that the gzera is retracted. The gzera usually remains even when at least the obvious reasons, the known reasons, are no longer nogea. But this type of gzera, which had built in exceptions from day one, it was only usur for an ordinary person. It was never usur for Talmid Chacham, and it was only usur for a person who's doing it for Harvacha. It was never usur for Kdei Chayiv. So once it has built in exceptions, so gzeiros of that nature can be rescinded, or you know, can be recalled or retracted when the sibas change. So now that gzeira no longer applies, and mimela it is mutter once again to lend money to a guy for ribbis b'chol inyan.
Was mutter to lend without ribbis always?
Yes. Well, it was mutter if it's not a shaylav lo sechanim or other isurim like that. Meaning, b'derech klal, it's not mutter to lend the money.
Make you but, closer with them to lend them without ribbis.
Yeah, but it's not going to. It's a milsa l'shchicha. First of all, it's okay. Right. First of all, it's taken not mutter across the board.
Right,
typically, it's not. But when there's a reason to do it, a person that you expect to perhaps to get a you know some benefit in it, so then it was mutter, and that's going to you know.
Meaning, you could get the ribbis mitrabon that he'd give you a bigger matar. Or
something of that sort,
or
right?
Treat you better.
Now the question is, why should ribbis the rabbanan? At the time that it was us, though, at the time that Chazal did aser, before the gzeira changed, why was it ever mutter ribbis the rabbanan? Why should that be mutter? So the Biur Gra says because the gzeira. We know that Chazal typically when they make gzeiras, they only make gzeiras on an issa deraisa. But something which is only us to be the Rabbanim to begin with, they don't make a gzera to protect the Rabbanim. But over here, it's a little bit difficult. So that we can understand by Lamashal, carrying on Shabbos. On carrying on Shabbos, there are certain forms of carrying which are us to only be the Rabbanim. So those forms that are only us to be the Rabbanim would be only us to in a makom that where the etzim carrying is the rice, like in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We're carrying the etzim is a deraisa. So even if they made a derabanan form of carrying, but they asked it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But in the Carmelis, we're carrying even straight out carrying is only us to be the rabbanan. They didn't asser these extra forms of carrying because that's called gzera. They didn't make gzeras to protect the rabbanan. But here the reason for the gzera was in order not to get involved, not to mingle too much with the goyim. Not in those shemel yomim b'maisav. So what's the difference whether it's a derais or the rabbanan? Meaning to say, the ikar reason wasn't because if you're going to lend money to a guy, you might come to lend money to a yid. That wasn't the ikar reason. As we explained it, that wasn't the reason at all. The reason was shema yimim b'maisav. So what's the difference? What if I lend him money in a derabbanan dika fashion, I won't come to be yomim b'maisav. Only if I lend him money in a derais dika fashion. Why would that be? So it could be the answer is that it's gufa lo shchiach. Ribbis de rabbanan is less of a shchiach dika scenario, perhaps. Or it's not something that you're looking to do. Like we said, ribbis de rabbanan derech mekach u'memkar. So they didn't ask for mekach u'memkar. So once they didn't ask for mekach u'memkar, so if ribbis de rabbanan you know comes about as a part of it, that was already nichel on the head there, perhaps. Lemaisa, some do say that there was another component here of Dilma Asi Lemisrach, which means that they asked lending to a guy because you might come to do an Avera, which is lending to a Jew. If you lend to a guy, Baribis, you might come to lend to a Jew, Baribis. So for that reason, it would be more understandable. But for the other reason, needs perhaps a little bit of a Hezber, why be Mutter? But okay, that's what the Mechaber says. Okay, so now also, most. The simple pshat in the achronim is that the iser was always only lahalvoslo, to lend the guy beribis, to borrow from a guy and pay him beribis, offer him ribis, was never assered. And the way that's how most understand. And b'pshuta they say because well, when you lend a guy, when you borrow money from a guy, you're not going to be socialized with him, mingling. You're going to be doing your best to stay away from him because you don't want him to hound you for the money. You're hoping maybe he'll forget about it altogether, or even doesn't forget about it, you know you don't want him to see you all the time, so you could enjoy your loan and perhaps enjoy your loan for longer than it was. So you do your best. It says that the derech is of a lova to be master himself, to hide himself from the malva, so that they weren't afraid if you borrow money beribis. The problem also, we lemaisa you could add, because the whole idea was that you know yidden are going to be looking to make money this way, so that was more shriach because since they can't lend to a yid, but to borrow from a guy beribis, according to most mefarshim, was never usher. Al kolpanim. Right, nowadays it doesn't make a difference because lemaisa it's all mutter. Okay, but when we say it's mutter to lend to a guy beribis, so the poskim all point out, first of all, that means if the sole party on the other side is a goy. But if it's a partnership, let's say a yid and a goy are partners, they have a business together, so there is no heter to lend that business. Let's say two partners in the business, 50-50 or whatever, maybe both are, you know, big principals in the business, a Jew and a goy, there is no heter to lend them money because you're lending the Jew money there as well, or to borrow money from that business is not mutter to do. And so the shaila becomes, so what about, though, which is an extremely common question, what about a business which is primarily a non-Jewish business, or maybe the main principals, the main players in the business are non-Jews, but there are, it's publicly held and publicly traded, and there are many, it could be many, many Jews that own shares, own stock, or, you know, other forms of shares in the business. So it's primarily a non-Jewish business, but there are Jewish shareholders. Is it mutter to borrow money from such a business or to lend money to such a business? So Reb Moshe has a famous tshuva in it's actually in Chelek Eben HaEzer Chelek Aleph Simin Zayin, where he talks about the concept of such a business. He's not talking about ribbis directly. He's talking more legabe Hilcha Shabbos, about having such a business, doing work on Shabbos. What the achrayah, is there any achrayas on the Jewish shareholders? And Reb Moshe says that there is no problem as long as the primary, the principals of the business, that the main shareholders are non-Jews, and there's no Jew that owns any amount of equity in the business that gives him a say, and it gives him any controlling say, any real say in the business. And Reb Moshe writes, and even if he gets a thing in the mail every year or every 6 months where he's asked that he could vote for the officers, a vote to the president of the business, Moshe says that's pitumi mili ba'alma, meaning it's really worthless, and your vote is absolutely worthless. Everybody's vote is worthless. The business is completely controlled by the people who own own large percentages of the business, and they're just doing that to give the people a good feeling, as if they have, you know, some shaykha, some control, some say in the business, so they want to put more money into it. But he says it's pitumi mili ba'alma. It's just it's not real, and therefore such a business is it doesn't have a din, it has a din of a guy, and it's mutter legabe all halachas. Reb Moshe says talking mostly about Shabbos. Reb Yashiv in his tshuvas, in the Kovetz Tshuvas in Rosh Hashanah Chelek Gimel Simin Kuf Chav Dalid, discusses this same shaila gabi ribis, and he brings Reb Moshe's tshuva, and he says kvar hora zaken, he's masking to Reb Moshe that such a thing is mutter, and he's talking specifically about ribis, and he's, as I said, he's applying Reb Moshe's tshuva directly to the shaila of ribis. So the problem would only be if a business has a major shareholder, who does have some sort of controlling share, who's a Jew. Now that does happen sometimes. But derech klal, if we don't know, we assume it's not the case. So, let's say a person, like a bank, a person wants to borrow money from a bank or get a mortgage from a bank or from any, you know, mortgage company, and he has no idea whether, you know, who the owners of the company are. Now, it's good if to try to find out, and but if it's impossible to find out, then, or even if you find out the names, you don't necessarily know, you know, the way a name sounds, unfortunately, is not a raya, because even if maybe the man's father was Jewish, but it doesn't necessarily mean that his mother was Jewish, or whatever it may be. We know that names are not a raya brura by any means. So if one can't find out, we typically go bus a rove and assume that the average company is, the majority of companies are non-Jewish owned. There are certain mortgage companies that are known to be in Jewish hands, or largely in Jewish hands, and there, you know, one could find out. One who's looking to take a mortgage could, you know, make some inquiries of people that are in the business, and they'd be able to steer him, hopefully, away from the ones which are Jewish owned, which are not done al pi halacha. It's possible to get a mortgage from a Jewish company al pi halacha with a heter iska, which is, you know, of course, a discussion for another time. But as I said, someone in the business could steer a person away from, hopefully, from Jewish-owned companies or companies that have a large Jewish percentage of ownership, which are not done al pi halacha.
If they're not from,
then typically
there's no
service
by kusim.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get the sebeis.
A lot of them. There's very few. I assume from.
Okay, but we'll have to see how far the extent the heter of mumer applies, but. But also, the heter of mumer is only to lend him money, not to borrow from him. We're talking about taking out a mortgage. Right, you're borrowing, right, so that's not going to help anyway, really.
It's not going to help.
Right. Okay. Now, there is a famous tshuva for Rav Moshe. It's a printed tshuva for Rav Moshe, and it's well known that Rav Moshe held that even if it is a Jewish company, it's completely Jewish owned, but if such a company is an LLC, limited liability, where basically and the yesod being that there is no personal achrayus on any individual in the company. If that company borrows money, there is nobody that's personally achrayus to pay back the loan, even if the people that own the company are wealthy and they have all sorts of assets. But if the company itself can't pay back the loan, then they're off the hook. They don't need to pay. That's basically in a basics of an LLC. So then the Rav Moshe holds it is mutter for such a company to borrow to borrow money. In other words, you could lend money. You could lend money to an LLC, even if it's completely Jewish, but there's no personal achrayus, and nobody takes any form of personal responsibility for the loan, then you could lend the money. Why could you lend the money? Because Rav Moshe says the yesod of a halvah means there's a malva and a lova, and a lova, by definition, a lova means the borrower, by definition, a lova is someone that's personally responsible. Afilu miglima dal kaspi, like if you ever listen to a ksuba, it says that the husband's mechayiv himself to pay his ksuba, even from the shirt off his back, meaning anything he has to pay, even if he has to pay this loan, no matter what it takes, if he has any assets. So when that doesn't exist, when the arrangement goofa is that he's not responsible, the guy could be driving the most expensive car in the town, and he might own a home that's three quarters of whatever of the block. It's his house, but his company is bankrupt. The company that borrowed the money is bankrupt, can't pay back the loan, so he. Just he could brush it away and not have to pay back, completely legitimate. So then that's not called a lova. He's not a lova. A lova is a person who's got to pay you back no matter what. And Mimela, that's not called a lova, and it's mutter to lend money. It is not mutter, says Rav Moshe, to borrow money from an LLC, that the LLC be, he's the malva, he's the lender, and you are the borrower, because then you are personally responsible. You are a private individual, unless you're an LLC. One LLC to borrow from another is okay, because then the as long as the lova, the borrower, is limited liability, doesn't have personal achrayus, then it's okay. But if the lova has personal achrayus, so to take a mortgage from a bank, even if the bank is LLC or whatever other business terms, but the yesoda is the bank is not, there's no individual has any personal achrayus to pay back the loan for the bank, so it still doesn't help to take a mortgage from that bank because you're borrowing the money. It would help, however, to deposit money in that bank, even if they're giving you interest, or to loan money, different forms of loans to the bank where you're getting interest from the bank. That would be okay, according to Rav Moshe, because they don't have personal achrayus. Now, this tshuva Rav Moshe is well-known tshuva, and it's black and white in the tshuvas. It's not it's something that somebody thinks they once heard from him. It's very, very mafurish. At the same time, there are many cholkim, and it's not for now. The story. Maybe as we go along, maybe we'll see some of the reasons. There are many cholkim on this Rav Moshe. Some hold it's Mishael, at least Ribbis de Rabbanan. Some hold it's Mamash Ribbis de Raisa. There are all sorts of rayas that are discussed back and forth, and I said maybe something we'll be able to touch on at some point. But I just want to mention the Nakuda. Now there is another daya out there that says that if you're dealing with an LLC, you could even borrow money from them. You could even, a private individual could take a loan from an LLC, even if it's a Jewish company. Why would that be? So there is an opinion, a shita, that a corporation is not a person. A corporation like it is in the for the most part in the legal sense. It's a new entity. They call it it's a golem. It's a non-human entity that happens to own money and is able to lend money. But it's not, since it's not a person, so it's not a yid. Even if it's owned by yidin, but the yidin aren't the company. The company is its own cheft, its own entity, and as such, there's no iser. It's not, you're not borrowing money from a Jew. You're borrowing money from a golem. Borrowing money from a non-human entity.
You call it an artificial person.
Yeah. Okay. That'll work.
Well, own that company. What if one guy owns that company?
Even so, if it's incorporated, so that the company itself is separate from him, the assets of the company are not his personal assets, and it's legally separate. I think it would be the same thing. Now, this shita, Ramesh and the Tshuva does not agree to this shita. It does not work with it. It's not his yesod at all. But some say this. Now, this comes up in various areas of halacha. I'll just quote from one particular. This is a sefer called Neshech Kesef, written by Rabbi Elchanan Peretz, who is the Talmud of Rav Scheinberg, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zichron Levracha. And he discusses that, if you want to look there, I have it written down in the, well, first of all, in Simon Aleph, right away, Omed Ayin Zayin, and then again, on Omed Ayin Tes, he writes the following, V'amali mori v'rebi resh yeshiva, shlita, so it's Rav Scheinberg, shebe'emes l'daito efsher, it's possible, meaning he's, no, the kesef ze kehefker, kehefker gomerhu, L'chal hadinim. The money that belongs to this company is hefker. Ela shemidina de malchusa yefshel gozlo. You just can't steal it because dina malchusa, you're not allowed to steal from a corporation. But be'etzim in halacha, it has no owner. It's not owned by any human being. He says v'gam efshel sha'asel gozlo ki gorim bitzel kisam shel hamashkiyim. It's a gram hezik because the people that invest in the company. If the company gets, you know, if somebody steals all the assets of the company, then the investors are going to lose money. Derech grama, so maybe that's why it's usher. But be'etzim is hefker. Aval inyan ribis efshel de nechshiv ke'ein kan adam klal. There's no man here. Like says a non-human at the ukalova migoidam yumuter. And he says it's not only nogeya legabe ribis. He says it's nogeya ribis. It's nogeya. If you have a keli, you bought a keli, like kli sud, you bought a pot or a set of silverware that was manufactured by such a company. You don't have to tovel it with a bracha because it could be you don't have to tovel it altogether. You only tefillas kelim is only from a guy. It didn't come from a guy. It's like a kemi shamay. Didn't come from a guy. So you shouldn't make a bracha at least on the tefillah. Legabe meiser peros, it's perish al hefker and not chayim a meiser. Chametz behesach, if they own chametz, they're not over balyer or balyer matzeh because they don't own it. The company owns it. The company's not Jewish. The company is not human. And a couple other nafkaminas. But these are phenomenally large nafkaminas. Now he says it, because he writes, Afshe kosha lo hakel b'chalana l'chadchila, u'befrat sheyesh cholkim, this lashon sefer, mikomokom b'hitstarif dover noisif, u'lai afshe lo hakel l'chadchila. Okay, now, I did hear of a, I don't want to say by name because I definitely never spoke to him personally about it, but I did hear of an Adam Gadol, he's no longer living, but who held this way Lamaisa, other than Rav Scheinberg, American Rosh Yeshiva Paisek, who held this way Lamaisa. And I mean, I'm fairly, at the same time, this Adam Gadol did not hold of a Heter Iska. He was strongly against ever utilizing Heter Iska. So he was quicker to go to to borrow money from a bank, even if it's a Jewish bank, as long as it's properly incorporated in a way that it's has this din. He'd borrow them without no need for a heter iska. He'd borrow money from them rather than borrow from a private yid with a heter iska. Heter iska he didn't hold of, and this he did hold of, which is okay, a chiddush. Okay, but this is a chiddush to kashita, and derech klal we don't work with this. Wanted to mention one other nakuda here. And that is that, interestingly, there is a nidan and achronim that there might be usser, there might be an isser ribis between one guy and another. We said before already that there's no isser ribis between a yid and a guy, or going to yid, be the raisa. The rabbanan asked it at one point, but that's batal now and it's mutter. But between two goyim, there are those that say it's usser. Why? Because legabe a guy, it's a chelik of the iser gezel. We know the guy mitzvah in Zayin mitzvah b'nei Noach. One of them is gezel, and there's a tzad in achronim that taking back more money than you lent is considered gezel. Now, between a Jew and a guy, it's not. We know the Torah says meforish that it's mutter both ways. The Jew, but between a guy and a guy, there's a dea in achronim that it's us. So my nafkamina say, okay, that's their issue, between a guy and a guy. Nafkamina is if a yid would be involved in the deal. Let's say the yid would be a broker, and he would broker a loan between two goyim. Not allowed to, a yid is not allowed to broker a ribis loan when it's usser, like between two Jews, for example. He's certainly not allowed. He can't be the lawyer on a mortgage when it's between two Jews without ribis and no heter iska. And you can't even be the secretary who draws up the documents. You can't be involved in any way in facilitating. Sometimes it might be at very least it's and there might be more isurim even that we'll see if you have a certain involvement in the loan. So if it's us between two guyim, So then that means a Yiddish lawyer or whatever, anyone, you know, in a different business, mortgage broker might not be able to, according to this, he wouldn't be able to get a non-Jewish client, a mortgage from a non-Jewish bank. Phenomenal. Never heard of this, right? Well, okay, Lamaisa, the Achorim say, the post can say, we're not chayshish for this. Lamaisa, halacha, Lamaisa, the minhag ha'olam is not to, to consider this to be mutter. There are, if you want to give Mar Makomas, you could, you know, look who talks about it, but the bottom line is, it's Noi Heter, who just quote two sources that say Lamaisa and Noi Heter. One is the Sefer Keren HaTorah from Rabbi Chesko Roth, the Satmadain, says like this, and also in the Chalkas Binyamin, Mistimis Haposkim Nira Deleka Lamecha Shleser Bedabazem. Lamaisa, we don't hold this answer. Okay. We'll basically end here. On the way out, I just want to end with one thing which I found phenomenally interesting. If you want to take a look in the Sefer Darkei Tshuva on Hilchos Ribbis, the Simen Kuf Nun Tes, the last Sif Katan in Kuf Nun Tes, he mentions the idea that if a Jewish woman was together in an intimate relationship with a non-Jew, and she conceives a child, and she's expecting a child from a non-Jew, and the non-Jew dies. So, and his assets now belong to this unborn child. So he has a tzad, his discussion of whether you're allowed to borrow or lend beribis on these nechasim, these assets. They belong to this unborn child. Now, what is the religion of this child? Remember, the mother's Jewish. The father was a guy, the mother's a Jew. So what's the baby's religion? Everyone will say, Jewish. Zog the Dark Yeshua, it's not so pashut. When he's born, he'll be Jewish. But when he's an ubar, when he's been meima, mikubi, he's not Jewish yet. Which he doesn't say, spell it out this way, but I think the Vardis is saying it could be he only becomes Jewish. The rechem, he's nikdash berechem. When he passes through the rechem of a Jewish woman, he becomes Jewish. But kolzman, he's before that stage, he's just a guy. He's a product of a guy. The mother doesn't have, the mother's stamp has not yet affected him. And he has a tzad lamaisa that you'd be allowed to borrow or lend his property. Beribis. He's very big kids there, but take a look. I mean, tell me if I'm reading it wrong. The last, I'm sure you're going to look it up. The last Dark Issue in Kufnun Tes. It has so many nafgaminas. I mean, what happens to Rahman al-San? This woman is in some sort of a situation where the Vlad, there's a sakana for the Vlad, and it shall be Michal Shabbos to save the Vlad. Her life is okay.
The Yiddish father is seen more Jewish. He still doesn't pass through the
rest. No, but the material he came from is Jewish material. There's no shemitz of goy there. You don't need the Jewish rechem only when it was a guy, you know, Zera Akum. But the Zera Yisrael, you don't need that. Okay, but let's say that there's this woman, it's Shabbos, and there's a sakana to the Vlad. No sakana to the woman, but she might lose the Vlad. She starts, whatever, you know. So she has to run to the hospital. Could she be Michal Shabbos? Could she go to the hospital like this? I mean, if it's a Jewish Vlad, of course, you're allowed to.
But not a Suffolk.
What? Why is it a Suffolk? Who's a Suffolk? You mean if he's right or not? Okay, yeah. I'm not speaking halacha lemaisa here about this. Oh, okay. Saying lefi that day. Maybe you wouldn't be allowed to mechal Shabbos. And what happens if he's born through a C-section? Is he Jewish?
Of course.
Well, there's no rechem.
I know, that's a rechem.
There's no rechem. Okay.
So this is very, very far.
Lo basi rak, at least end off with something unusual. Okay, shkarech all of you. Oh, okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Sure.